AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860. As always, thanks for tuning in, and go to your telephone and invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860 if they live in the Philadelphia and tri-state area. If they live at a distance, they can also listen live right now or to rebroadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from the easy access links located on the front page of our internet site, AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Just click on the Listen Live or Listen Anytime links. Now, if you received our email today, kindly forward it to others interested in promoting jobs in America and a better economy, because we are making positive change happen. Well, my very special thanks to Rich Logis and Mark Andel, who are here on the broadcast today, for helping to welcome our very special guest last week, Scott Paul, the director of the Alliance of American Manufacturing. It was a very informative broadcast as Scott Paul outlined the 2014 American Manufacturing Report. It was very informative, and listeners told me they learned a lot from Scott Paul's report and encouraged me to encourage people to listen to rebroadcasts, which are on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. All you have to do is go to the Listen Anytime link and check out the February 18th broadcast. Well, I want you to know that I did listen to the show a second time, and I learned more than I did the first time because I had the time to relax. And it really helps you understand just how important our efforts are and how much we have to do as America's taxpayers and consumers to get America back to where it should be. We should have never went down this slope, but since we did, I'm urging all of you to do everything that you can. Do listen to a rebroadcast of the show on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Well, first of all, I have a very famous gentleman on the broadcast today, and I'd like to extend congratulations and compliments to Mark Andel, who was in the state of Georgia last week as Georgia's Governor Nathan Deal implemented a new program that'll have students doing many good things in Georgia. And Mark, I'm going to ask you to give us a full report on how you saw things and what good is going to come from it.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike and Rich and the listeners? Cold up here in Buffalo, as you know. We're all facing that cold. And, you know, last week was such a great day down in Georgia. You know, the National Education Initiative featuring our American-made movie was launched into the 932 Georgia schools. So that'll start being taught this August. So about 84,000 students will see it from the middle school to the high school, Mike. So it's really interesting. It's the pilot state now, but since this was accomplished, it took them a couple years to get to the education system. And Clyde and Sandra Strickland and John Ratzenberger, everybody launched the initiative with the governor and donated money to help this grow. But the idea is to tie manufacturing and the skilled workers and to educate the students that it's okay to work with your hands. There's a major shortage, and this is how we're going to grow the country. So, Mike, we're excited that that's the starter state. You know, they accepted the package, and now we work on New York and Texas and the other states. And I'm told they've got about six states in line that they should be able to close by the end of this year to also accept this package.
Wonderful. It's something I thought was historic. And just imagine 900 plus schools, the youth in those schools, seeing that movie, discussing what it's all about to have a job and opportunities and skills that is only transferable from you. Whatever job skills you have, that's what you have to offer an employer. And being employed is the most important thing that any of us can hope for.
And the real neat thing, Mike, is it really ties what me, you, and Rich, and Larkin, and Henry, what we're all about. It promotes everything we believe in and everything we know we lost in the 30-year mistake. So it's just great stuff. And when you talk positive, and if you want to talk, is there any change? Yes, this should give you hope.
this will give hope. Now, last week, Mark, the conversation with Scott Paul was outstanding. And many people that I spoke to, I had some good people on the phone this week. We had some snow in Philadelphia late Saturday and into early Sunday. So I had a chance to talk to some of the people, and they were very impressed with what he has to say. In fact, one listener who is in business made a comment to me. He said, I am usually looking at all sorts of magazines, and I heard more information in that half an hour on your radio show than I get from all access points that I have, newspapers, magazines, internet sites, and also the radio programs. He said, it's strange to say, but they all touch on things, but they don't give a detail of what's going on. And some of the questions that were asked of Scott last week were also very impressive, and it gave the listeners an opportunity to know that there is hope. But it's really going to take all of us working together to make that hope come about. Rich, I thank you for welcoming Scott last week. What did you think of his report?
Yeah, I was. I thought, Michael, good morning, everyone. And Mark, again, our congratulations here on your influence on this. I thought, Michael, it was, as I had expected, a little bit of the good, bad, and ugly on things, that things aren't entirely bleak. There are slowly but surely some jobs coming back, some manufacturing, some products that are coming back here. There's a variety of reasons, I think, why that is. Market demand, cost of manufacturing here compared to elsewhere around the world. So there's a variety of reasons why that is happening. Truthfully, whatever the reasons are, I'm not as concerned about as knowing that some jobs and goods are coming back here. So I thought that Scott, as usual with his talks, really thoroughly highlights what we're doing well and what we may not be doing so well. And Mark, the thing is, I've really had a lot of our listeners who communicate with me directly talking about how this is, some of them have said to me that they didn't think that Made in America could get the kind of traction that it's now getting, and they're really pleasantly surprised. And I got to tell you, Mark, I got to give some credit to some of these southern states. I mean, you've got BMW in South Carolina, right, in that county where it was highlighted in the film. Now you've got Georgia doing this. You've got a whole future generation of youth who are intelligent and influenced and can absorb information, to be introduced and exposed to this seemingly very simple yet effective and powerful concept of Made in America. And you're going to see, I really think, Mark, you're going to see over time the youth who are seeing this and being exposed to it, they're going to get interested in it. And they're going to start talking to their teachers and guidance counselors saying, hey, how come I can't do that on the screen? I like building stuff. I like working with things. I like trades. And you're going to see it, Mark. It's going to happen. Those students are going to come forward on it.
You know, Rich and Mike, talking to the filmmakers, Vincent and Nathan, and Nathan, brought up, too, when they brought out that movie, they weren't sure how it was going to go. You know, in the theater, it was the theater, and then as a feature documentary film on video on demand, it went well, but not great. But what do you notice, though, doing the movie in a 32-day tour and visiting the different cities and bringing manufacturers together, they now look back and they look at how many people they brought together, and once these people started looking at each other and talking to each other, that was kind of the seed that was planted, where they realized they're all on the same mission and they all have the same problems. And that started, you bring a couple hundred manufacturers together and making that movie, they figure a couple hundred, and that's where it really got churning. So that's really interesting when you bring everybody together like we do. We align everybody, get them on the same track, keep working with each other, and that's what I think, Rich, like you said, we're going to be seeing. But you get the youth involved. Wow. I mean, just watch out. And we see change all over.
And I want to add something to this, Mark. Normally, we would not have the youngsters going out to the movie theaters to see the American-made movie. But having them presented the movie in school during school time is worth millions of dollars.
Perfect, Mike, right?
It's perfect. I mean, you learn a lot by seeing the reaction of your fellow students, have someone come in from the school to discuss. But it's also going to bring attention to the fact that those programs are not available in 95%. It's 95% of America's schools have no vocational education programs. Now, somebody, as of last week's program, was telling me again that 30 years ago, he went to a parochial school. Now, the parochial school had the regular classes, and then 2 days a week, they would take a school bus and go to the vocational education school to learn those programs. And now that school no longer does that. You just arrive at the school 5 days a week and go home. There's no access to going out to these programs. That's very unfortunate. And what's really scary about this whole thing is, every day, 10,000 people retire. Many of them are people who could be in the classrooms putting back, reinstalling all these programs, and they're not going to be able to do it unless the people rise up and say, we want it.
You know, and what I like with the American-made movie was it's inspirational, too. It's not all negative or shows where America was, where we are, but it tries to ask, you know, what's your part? What can you do? What can you do as a consumer? It ties in, you know, globalization and everything. It's all pieces of the pie, and I like that it has inspiration, and that's an entrepreneur spirit. But you bring manufacturing back, it gives people jobs, opportunity, which gives them hope. So there's just so much to it, and I think we're touching on all of it.
You know, Scott mentioned last week, in his report, that the textile industry is still very, very poor in America. Now, there alone, from speaking with some of the textile people, they tell me that we could get back at least 14 million jobs in America, and that would only be directed to 50% of the clothing products sold in America today. 14 million people could be back in work. And what are those 14 million jobs? They're not just the sewers. They're the people who are selling the products, designing the products, shipping the products, selling the products, promoting the products, the advertising agencies. It's all of these things. Right now, our situation is they take it off the container, take it to the store, put it on the hanger, and there you have it. Where are all the other jobs? In some other country. Now, I'm not looking for 100% restoration, but the 50-50 balance, no one can argue with it.
You know, I've got a contact from Ricky Lee, my friend, that was really about Larry Gatlin. You remember the Gatlin brothers, guys?
Oh, yeah.
So what Larry did, not only is he from Texas, but he got together what they call the series, the Legend Series, and Henry and or Rick, you'll like to hear about it. So they're running this series down in Nashville, and take a look at it. It's Larry Gatlin, but they got the American Legend USA. And I contacted this Robin Worley, and I said, boy, I like what you're doing. So what they're doing, they said only 4% of our garments and jeans and linens are made here, so they don't like that at all. So they formed this Legend Series, and they do different shows all on 100% Let's Build Our Country, Get Made in America Back. So I'm trying to tie with them, and I'll hopefully get this lady you know, to talk on our show, this Robin. And I just contacted him Sunday, so I got the feelers out. But we want to tie with them because what they're doing is exactly what we're talking about. And you'll like it if you look it up, the Legend series by Larry Gatlin. And it'll show you. But they're the old gusset jeans that have been around forever. But they're trying to get this clothing industry back on its feet.
Well, that's where our consumers are going to have to speak up. And by the way, as people are speaking up at the stores, some of the store owners and even the merchandisers are starting to get a little angry with our message because Americans are now starting to take a long, long, hard look at the labels, and they're learning exactly where the products are being made. And a lot of the merchandisers don't like that, as I mentioned in past broadcasts, because the dollar bill that they get, the bigger dollar is from the imported stuff because there's, you know, it comes right to the door. They don't have to worry about research and development and shipping and delays in shipping and all that stuff. We have to return all that stuff to America. And that's why I always speak up at every broadcast that I'm on. Go out of your way to make yourself known. As a taxpayer, by the way, also the elected officials don't like our message because it's being discussed now in the media more and more and is bringing attention to the fact that elected officials have not been doing their job and they're not been looking out for jobs in America, for businesses in America which employ people, and better and most importantly for the overall American economy. Where does this $18 trillion come from except on the backs of every man, woman, and child in the USA, and that's 320 million of us?
Well,
Rich?
Michael, if businesses are mad about consumers speaking up, you know, tough, you know what? And in terms of the ability for legislators to really make a positive, measurable impact on Made in America, a legislator has to represent both consumers as well as business, and that's not an easy task. I'm not going to try to suggest that it's easy, but the job isn't supposed to be easy, Michael, right? The job of legislating at any capacity is supposed to be tough. It's like owning your own business, right, Mark? You know, how cold was it this morning? Like 87 below zero. Well, you had to get up and, I mean, Niagara Falls is frozen, for God's sake. It's so freaking cold.
We're setting every record there is, Rich.
I mean, you know, last week, the Northeast was the coldest part on Earth. I mean, so I have to congratulate Northeasterners. They're the dumbest people on Earth last week. And I'm only kidding about that. But, Michael, legislators need to represent everybody. And as far as this Made in America, the film, being interwoven into the curriculum, I mean, thank God for that. Like, that's something that can be huge. And it can make, in the schools, it can make Made in America a little bit sexy again. You know, what's happened in the schools is Mickey Mouse useless things like evolution versus creationism have become sexy. And that's sports bar talk to me. That's not really education. I mean, that's just an opinion. Someone believes that. Made in America, Michael, isn't really an opinion. I mean, this has to do with social issues, economic issues, labor issues, the strength of our businesses. Businesses need to make money. They have to stay in business. Our economy would suffer with businesses one after the other suffering and going under. But there has to be representation with consumers as well. I got for my birthday last month a gift card to a major department store, and I won't say which one. And me and my wife went. And guys, I'm going to tell you, I looked at the clothing. I didn't see one article, not one, that was made here.
And wait, before you say another word, did you speak up?
Well, I spoke with a manager there, not to really interrogate him so much, but to ask him. And he said that corporate has been talking about bringing in American-made goods, particularly clothing, for years. He said he's a manager at this company for 15 years, and he can recall 15 years ago the corporate was talking about bringing in Made in America. Why didn't they? Simple reason. Money. Just costs less.
And also, Rich, another thing about that is the American people were snoring all this time. They've now woken up. Everywhere I go, people say, why is the regular media not hounding on this every hour of the day? Give 5 minutes a day. They're not. They're worrying about who has this, who has a boob job, who has everything else going on. What about the American people who need a living to pay the taxes?
Well, now, Michael, though, you see, there are things that have happened between now and, let's say, 20 years ago that are measurable. For example, incomes have less purchasing power today than they did 20 years ago. So there wasn't an equation, there wasn't a correlation between I'm doing okay economically, the country's doing okay economically. What harm does it do to America for me to buy made in the Philippines, made in India, made in Pakistan, wherever? There wasn't this core. We didn't have this cognitive correlation between these things, right? Where, okay, you know, the country seems to be doing really well and generally there's peace. But what's happened over time, Michael, middle class is beginning to shrink. Middle class is the largest consuming group in our country. Billionaires are not the biggest consumers. Middle class as a group is the biggest consumer. That was talked about and articulated very clearly, Mark, in the film with the lady. I don't recall her name, but she works at a tax organization, I think.
Yes.
She was talking about that. So middle class, your incomes have shrunk. Purchasing power has shrunk. Unemployment, right, is unemployment is one of these numbers, Michael, in our country it's hard to look at these numbers and know what's what, because new jobs, when someone just gets promoted to a new job, that's considered a new job. We had the season just passed with the holidays. We had some new part-time jobs. Most of those people are probably either finishing up or already out of their seasonal jobs. And so all of these different things have led us to where we are now, where people are saying, my incomes don't get as much. Unemployment seems to be hit or miss. Granted, unemployment seems to be lower, Michael, but we're looking at all of these things now and saying, you know what, made in America actually does matter. Actually, buying things that are made here really does actually help the country. And that's not evolution versus creationism, which these kids are getting in the classrooms and they're debating this, like, you know, who's the greatest quarterback ever. It's sports bar talk. It's not an education. Made in America is not an opinion. I mean, who in their right minds can't get behind? I don't care if you're liberal, conservative, gay, straight, man, woman, not sure. Who can't get behind it?
You know, it's funny, Rich. You got to keep one eye on the ball, but one eye on your country. And that's what I think we forgot, and we admit that's the 30-year mistake. But like you said, supporting Made in America, you know, you're supporting your country. I think it solves about 90% of our key top topics that we have problems with: jobs, the income, self-sufficiency, gives people dignity. They can make their own money and support their own families, and gives them purpose. I mean, you grow cities, you grow entrepreneurs. What doesn't Made in America support if you do it? You know, it's everything. It's what made us.
You know, guys, I want to tell you, I'm going to ask all listeners to kindly go to our site today, AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and click on the U.S. Debt Clock link. Now, that U.S. Debt Clock is posted by the United States government, and you can click on the different options, and you'll see. Just for the record, on this day, we have 320 million Americans. 116 million are in the private sector with jobs. There are 117,000 Americans paying taxes. 92 million people are not in the labor force. Actual unemployed could be 40 million people. Where does this end? How did it ever reach this point? And we are now in $18,137 billion in debt. And that means that every citizen in the United States, Henry, his wife, and his four kids, each owe $56,006.07.
I'll get right on that.
Henry, you know, that's a lot of money to owe Uncle Sam, but nobody spoke of it. And Rich, you mentioned something a few minutes ago about the unemployment rate has gone down and people are losing their jobs after the Christmas holidays. That's true. But there is one fact that I discussed with a man from labor and industry the last week. He said to me, well, we had a lot of people employed for the holidays. But I said, yes, but they're not reflected in the unemployment rates because those part-time people don't get eligibility for unemployment. He said, well, that's beside the fact. Let's look at the real reality. America needs jobs. I said, coming from you, that's the biggest success story I've ever heard. This is a man from labor and industry. They themselves see that this is a nightmare, and nobody knows, like Scott said, you don't take a tanker ship and turn it around like you do a car. It takes a long, hard time. We've started this a few years ago, and it's really up to every listener. It's up to Mark and all of his efforts. The American Made movie, all that you do there on special holidays for your people, why isn't this being done in other places? People are waking up. The snooze is over. When a child is ready to go to high school or college and there's education money needed, the parent says, well, I was out of work, it can't go on like that. And by the way, a lot of this year's buying power was on credit cards. That's the sad part of this. Yes, people did buy for the holidays, but a lot of it was on credit cards. And those credit cards hunt you down, haunt you for months until you pay down your bill. That's very unfortunate that we had to come to this point in America. And it's the keep up with the Jones mentality in many cases. People want to overbuy during the holidays so they don't look like they're stressed because they have no job or whatever. But they don't have a job in many cases. So we have to accept realities and get these people to speak up. Like you went to the store, Rich. Make sure you speak up and let them know that you really are behind the cause and you want to know what they're going to do to get behind the cause too.
I thought it was interesting, Michael, how the manager of this large department store did specifically say how corporate had, he's heard about bringing Made in America for years. So as an issue, guys, I think that it's, for those who have been paying attention, and unfortunately, and I mean no offense, although I kind of do to my fellow Americans, we have sort of perfected the art of not paying attention and not really knowing what's going on, unless it's mostly football players who beat up their girlfriends and nightly televised karaoke contests. We've perfected that art. What we don't know, and what we... And Michael, it's because we're mainly, on one hand, yes, we're not as exposed to it in major media as we could, but we're in the United States where we have the greatest, most open access to information in world history of any country. So I'm not expecting people to be experts really on anything, but if as a nation we can continue to know and understand things more, it can translate into how we buy and how we vote. And it can, with time, I hope, confirm what I've said for many years, that I believe the country, the people of America, are a lot closer together on issues than we are farther apart. And these are actual, Mark, like you're pointing out, these are legitimate issues. When you talk about Made in America, making things, buying things, where businesses are created, jobs are created, businesses expand, they are started up the way Larkin does this on a daily basis, working with new business owners, existing business owners. That's what will happen from that, Michael, is we will have a labor force that will grow. We will have a labor force that will grow in its skills and its abilities. And companies can maybe someday have the opportunity to select candidates from very well-qualified and highly capable pools of people. And when candidates for jobs can become more mobile and increase their skills, what happens? The quality of things can go up, and business, our economy, and consumers can benefit from it. The reason, Mark, that you need people to build what you build is because you make a high-quality product. And a high-quality product requires that human touch. It requires a skilled, capable human touch. And it's now, Michael, I do think that it is becoming more apparent to people that Made in America is directly tied into so many important issues in our country. There's probably not an issue I can really think of that doesn't have something to do with, hey, if we've got more business, more jobs coming back here, can it help in ABC, XYZ issues? There's probably every issue we could think of is at least touched by Made in America.
Rich, even the even families, you know, I mean, when factories leave and the towns close down, like Buffalo had Bethlehem Steel and was the second largest city in the country at one point. But then once the jobs move away, your families break down, your families move away, it's not that connection. So I don't think a lot of people grab how connected manufacturing and building products in your own areas and having jobs in your own area, how it holds that, it's the thread that holds that, you know, that creates that fabric of, you know, keeping a community together.
Yeah, for years, Mark, I believe the majority of the American buying public just had no reason to equate these things. There was no reason to think buying from another country harmed us locally, nationally. But all of these things that I mentioned between income, shrinking middle class, shrinking purchasing power, watching unemployment, I think also watching the constant fighting with the two parties, I think that does have actually something to do with this also, guys. I think that people look at that and look at a government that, fair or unfair, seems more in legislating for the small, influential donors and special interest PACs and these groups as opposed to legislating for the entire country. So, Michael, if you're going to say that people were snoozing, whatever the reasons were, people just weren't really paying attention.
And people feared.
And now I think they are when it comes to this issue.
And people feared speaking up because they thought, well, maybe who am I to speak up on this issue? No, they did wrong. It's time now to right a wrong. You have to speak up. Let me have a few minutes just to briefly acknowledge some of our supporters for today. They will be fully acknowledged on each of our broadcasts on Saturday and through the rest of the week. And I'd like to thank the Royal Cracovia Restaurant for their support. They're located at 510 Whitehorse Pike South in Magnolia, New Jersey. You can check them out on the internet at royalcracovia.com. And Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, as well as Mr. Chester Kshanovsky of Serena's Auto Body Shop, thank all of you for supporting American Made. And everyone from Net Cost Market, located at 117,001 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, wishes all of you the very best, as does Mr. Joseph Drobot, National President of the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, known as the PRCUA. And also the very best from Mr. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, as well as from Dr. Eva Machak, who has two dental offices in Philadelphia to serve you. And Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, is another fine attorney in our area. You can give him a call at 215-575-7624. And when you are in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, don't forget that Polka Deli is located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue. And if you're planning to do some travel, maybe go to Florida or wherever, you can contact the Polish American Travel Service. They're located at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue. You can give them a call at 215-634-3396. And also best wishes to everyone. Thanks for supporting American Made from Georgia Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928. Also, Mr. Martin Bednarek and everyone from Washington Savings Bank, as well as Yolanda Konopatska DeCipio, attorney at law, and Karen Janad from State Farm Insurance, thank you for supporting all of our efforts. And for a great smile, we also have Dr. Wojciech Zin and Everest Dental, located in Northeast Philadelphia. And best wishes also from Mr. Frank Spula, who is the national president of the Polish National Alliance. And I'd also like to encourage you to look at all of the links on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And when you do go there, you'll see Mark Andel's smiling face. He is the founder of Made in America Store. Click on Mark and you'll be able to go right to his store's website. Do support Mark in every way that you can. And also my thanks to Rich Logis, who is the principal of RJL Technology, and to Larkin Connolly, who is the East Regional Vice President of SCORE International, or should I say National Association. I mean, SCORE is going to go national. There's no doubt about it. And I'm Michael Blihash, your Wednesday host and Saturday host, and I want to also thank Barbara Ilnitska for doing great work on the daily programs in our community. Thanks to all of our supporters. It's been brutal. Mark, it's been cold in your area, but we've experienced some unbelievable cold too. 0, -2. We did some of that stuff over here as well. So my best wishes to all of you. Don't forget to spread the word that American workers need you. I also want to note that there will be a small business expo coming to Philadelphia that will be on Thursday, March the 19th, and American Workers Radio and National Small Business Weekend will be represented during that expo. I'll be keeping you updated over the daily program here on 860. And we'll also be posting it on our site in a few days. But do mark that on your calendar, especially all of our business sponsors and supporters. Come out and see what's going on in the world of small businesses by coming to Small Business Expo. And that'll be at the Pennsylvania Convention Center in Center City, Philadelphia, on Thursday, March the 19th. Well, Mark, you've been an unbelievably busy man, and I'm probably going to ask you to do some more busy stuff. We'll have to talk this week. I didn't want to bother you because I said if I bother him, he's out there either shoveling snow or, he stoking up a fire or whatever. It has been brutal. Yeah. It's been brutal.
You know, we're into snow removal equipment, so like I said, all the women want to kill me here up in upwestern New York, and they think I have control over the snow and cold. And a couple of people just said, can you make it a little warmer, like 29 degrees? But it's been good for our snow removal business, of course. And we've got a lot of snow on the ground right where I am. I'm south of Buffalo. We got 4 or 5 foot on the ground, solid. And the banks are getting high. They got to truck the snow out. And the buildings, a lot of ice on them, and a lot of buildings are leaking and whatnot. But, you know, this cold, like Rich said, you know, this cold weather makes you tougher, makes you stronger, makes you think. You find out how unself-sufficient you are if you lose. I think it was down in PA, Bradford, they lost their water. It shows, you know, the town what water means. So, you know, they had a main water break and lost all their water. So it teaches you a lot. And spring will come. You know, it might take a couple extra months here in Buffalo. But, Mike, last night, you know, we talked about skilled workers. We always bring it up a little. I always talk about the shortage. I'm going through it still. And then we want a welder, a plumber, a CNC lathe operator treated like a doctor. I mean, we want that same relationship in the schools. We want the parents and the guidance counselors to recognize the shortage, to recognize it's okay to work with your hands. And it's funny, you sent me that Keystone Pipeline video, I believe, Mike, and I watched it, and I wanted to get your and Rich's take on the pipeline, and, you know, can it create jobs? I mean, we know right off the first year or two it would. Will it create jobs? What's your feel? Because oil and gas, as we know, run the world, and it does affect the economy. I build major oil and mining equipment, but when it's low at the pump, the business is down because people aren't, the demand ain't there, so they don't have to create as much of equipment. So it hits me, it's like a double-edged sword. But what's your take on the Keystone Pipeline, Mike?
Well, I think that it's going to have to happen sooner or later. And I think that what they're saying, the pipeline is going to cause environmental damage or whatever. We already have a number of those pipelines located all across the USA. That's how a lot of our gas and natural gas is shipped around. It just isn't carried on train cars and on trucks. So it's just another reason for us to sit down and talk about what's going to happen. We need that energy. But Mark, every person who's in business could make double the business if more people were working, if more businesses were up and about and doing their things, you know, buying products, whether it's textiles and steel or welding. You have to get all these people together. It simply hasn't been happening for years. I know, I want to just add this. I know that some school boards, in fact, after your broadcast last week, when you spoke about what's taking place in Georgia, two people from Philadelphia School Board said it's not as easy to bring back these situations. And some of the educators don't really like our message because it's exposing the fact that America's junior high and senior high school students simply don't have vocational educational programs available to them. So how are they going to ever get to the idea, Mark, that they want to do something with their hands? And being creative sometimes can be more beneficial financially than being sitting behind a desk or whatever.
And isn't it a problem if you couldn't change your own tire? Don't you think everybody should change your own tire or be able to put oil, gas in your car? Or the simple things, which I think you picked up from the metal shops and wood shops, and you learned what certain tools were, the hammer, the screwdriver. I think that's just terrible that it's lost.
It's common sense. You know, it's common sense, and you have to get back to this. The idea that we had to put all of our money into only reading, writing, and arithmetic, that didn't make sense to me 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and it doesn't make sense to me now, because right now, every educator, every person in elected office sees that without the day-to-day jobs that are making things, America's not going anywhere. We can't depend on the world to send us our clothing, our electronics, our TVs, you name it. It's coming from all over the world. Where can I call up today and get it from America?
And the German model seems to make sense. I think you guys agree, where you go to school to a certain point, you find a job in a nice company, and then you extend your education, what you need for that company at that time.
That's right. We do have some programs like that, like Drexel University. They have the co-op programs and things like, but there's simply not enough of them. And by the way, that has to begin at 6th and 7th grade, where you already have access to Made in America movies and other things about young people, the Justin Friends of the world. Let them speak to the youth and let them know how he got into it, what sparked his interest. There's simply no interest in it.
Well, Michael, I won't plead guilty to ignorance on the pipeline, and I say that because I have invested a considerable amount of time really trying to understand this. As usual, it's another issue that one side is so sure of it being good and the other side is so sure of it being bad that when I see that, I tend to look somewhat in the middle. And I think that the president's problem, actually, with this pipeline is that what's an easy target for this pipeline is that, I won't approve it, or I'll veto it, as was the case recently, because of the jobs being mostly temporary. The problem with the president saying that is a few things. First off, the president himself had a stimulus plan 6 years ago, I believe it was, the same year he took office. That stimulus plan created temporary jobs. When the president recently talked about job creation at the end of the year, he knew full well that many of the jobs that he took credit for were temporary seasonal jobs, right, guys? So they were temporary as well. So he had the president's a politician, right, same as Republican or Democrat, so he's going to pick what works when it works, and he's going to pick what doesn't work, trying to make it not work. So my long-winded answer, Mark, to your question is that there is enough data from federal agencies, and particularly the State Department, which I recently read in a finding from the State Department, that this would be neutral, that this project would be neutral on environmental impact. Now, I want jobs created, Michael. I want in many states, if possible. But I also don't want harmful, irreparable environmental impact. That's what I think the majority of the country would probably tell you, Mark. If you asked them, hey, if we can do this pipeline without significant harm to our environment, I think people would get behind this. So I'm looking at this issue. It's highly politicized. It's highly monetized. One side really loves it. One side really hates it. It's probably somewhere in the middle, and if I look at the middle ground on this pipeline, I see more good than bad. But I will not purport to be an expert on this issue. I can talk more intelligently about other issues. With this Keystone Pipeline, I've really devoted some time to really understand this, and if I look in the middle ground on this, guys, I see many good things potentially from this.
You know, it's funny. It's 6 to 8 years they've been on it for a decision, right? I think it was 8 years, or is it 6 years? But a lot of time. But if every project in the country, or hopefully not the infrastructure and bridges and things, you know, we're going to have to get some type of game plan, because projects and work is what we need. And maybe, like you said, Richard, never want to be, environmentally, it's got to be safe and it's got to be the right move. But, boy, the speed, when you talk 6, 8 years go by before even putting a shovel in the ground, it's a long time.
You're right. And, you know, Mark, what's really disappointing, it went on for 6 to 8 years. And if I went to the if I wanted to look at one page report that says this is why it's not good or this is why it is good. You can't find it. You can find a 50-page report, which nobody will read. But if I had one loose-leaf paper that said this is what it is and this is what it's not what you think it's going to be, I would know what I'm talking about and what I would be able to encourage.
Right.
But having 535 people in Washington play this game for 8 years and then nothing has happened, that's not what we're trying to do. Can you imagine, guys, what America would be like if every man and woman that was able-bodied and working age had a job? Mark, what would that do to the Buffalo area of New York?
You know, it would be booming. We'd have a boardwalk again. The city would be alive. You know, it's coming around slowly, but really in the days, I always ask my father and father-in-law, how was Buffalo 30, 40 years ago? And it was happening. You know, a lot of them say when the St. Lawrence Seaway came through, it hurt because we were a major shipping port. But with manufacturing Bethlehem Steels and the Ford plants here and Chevy plants and Pierce Arrow was made here. They had 8,000 employees at the turn of the century, Mike, at 1900s, and they made bicycles and cars. And but it was great, great stuff. Everybody, there was, you know, from gin mills to hotels to accounting to, you know, salons. It fed everybody, and people don't realize the stores were busy and happy, and everybody was growing. So that's what it is. It's a self-sufficiency. It's healthy. It's a healthy economy, and that's what you need. You can't be always in survival mode. And I think, you know, that's what's tough. You know, where'd everybody go in Buffalo? I think there was supposed to be 1 million people per census, but there's probably 500,000, 600,000 people here still. And it's a shame. They had to move away because the jobs moved away.
And that is what our message is. Let's keep America stable. I want to see the 92 million people listed, or whatever percentage of them could be employed, listed on the debt clock to have a job. Because people want to get up in the morning and go someplace and feel positive, not wait for some check or some government person to tell you you're eligible or not eligible for this or that. It doesn't make any kind of sense. We have the opportunity by bringing back skills to America and jobs to restore tens of millions of jobs. And we also have the opportunity to bring back the 50-50 balance of products just by what we buy. I want to tell you, honestly, I cut down on a lot of my buying because I don't want to support products that don't have an equal type of a product available. I want to go to the store and have a decision. I'll buy the foreign this time and the American next time or whatever. I want to have, when there's no balance is what really frustrates people. And they don't know what to do and they don't know what to say.
Yeah, you know, when we're talking about the Keystone Pipeline, 6-8 years, and Rich, you're saying, you know, all the information, both sides, if you read, what we really want is good information. We want good information to make good decisions. Same as we want to be honest to the people. What happened in the 30-year mistake? That's where the movie comes, and we're showing good information. So I think we need more good information so people can make and become aware of what really is going on and why, and then we can move forward to fix it.
That's right. And when the political people sit there, 535 of them, and the caucus says this and this and that, and we'll attach it to some other bill to try to sneak this through or that through, this has got to come to an end. Our presidential election is not that far away, and I think it's time for all the local political people and the people who are working within the political system, all the ward leaders and all, to start talking about how are we going to revitalize local communities? How are we going to bring back jobs? How are those vocational education programs going to be restored in the schools? As I said last week, I'd like to see the school board put the money up for regular education and vocational education and see what balance the people would want to see if they had to put it on a referendum on the election day. I'd like to see what the people would say. Because most of those people who are retiring, they receive the goodness of those vocational arts programs 30 and 40 years ago. Today, our youth is being educated, but there's no hands-on. There's no one who is there saying, well, if you start welding, you may have a future for life. If you do welding or you do plumbing, you will have something that you'll be able to always have for life or fall back on. If you do heating and air conditioning, this is going to be a job that's going to be around forever. If you do manufacturing of clothing, making cell phones, I mean, we should have so many people at the door knocking on our door to make things instead of selling us things. America is supposed to be a country that makes things, not only buys things from around the world.
Top quality things, Mike.
Top quality. This conversation, by the way, we're going to have a special guest next week, and Walt Jakubowski is going to be with us, and you're going to be, Mark and Rich, you're going to be a very important part of next week's broadcast, and I hope Larkin will be out of travel next week so we can really put this discussion on the table. Mark, you will be very pleased with next week's discussion. Prepare as Walt Jakubowski is getting ready to join us. Mark and Rich, thank you for all you're doing to speak up in behalf of the American people. Hopefully that day is going to come real soon where we'll say that we're getting closer and closer to the 50-50 balance. The thing that is the most important is that our supporters go to the stores, speak up, and speak up with a very strong message. I want American-made items or I'm not buying. You can check out a rebroadcast of today's show a little later on today. Henry Chaplinsky, our engineer, will have it up. And thank you again for tuning in. Spread the word, and my best to you.
Rich, Mike, and Henry, have a great week, guys.